A few weeks ago, while I was out walking, a verse came to my mind which I've not been able to shake off. Mentioned it a few weeks ago in the prayer time. Just so happened that that week a number of people couldn't make it, and there was only a few people at the prayer time. And I did mention then that in a couple of weeks' time, I would just bring this verse on a Sunday morning. So if you have your Bibles, it's found in Ezekiel 22. And I'm just going to read the verse this morning, and then I'm going to take us on a little journey through the UK just to highlight some of the needs. They're not all the needs, but they are some of the needs. So I just pray that you'll journey with me this morning. So Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30 says this: "And I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap." So I'm just going to look at a few gaps that actually exist. We are told that the world's richest 1% have more than twice as much as the wealth, as twice as much wealth as 6.9 billion people. The world's richest 1% have more than twice as much wealth as 6.9 billion people. The gap between the richest and the rest, especially those living in poverty, we are told, is out of control. While people at the top get influence, opportunities, and power, people living in poverty miss out on the basics they need, like a decent education, healthcare, and jobs. And women and girls, especially those living in poverty, are often hit the hardest. The world's 22 richest men have more wealth than all of the 325 million women in Africa. The world's 22 richest men have more wealth than all the 325 million women living in Africa. Another area is that of homeless people in the UK. An estimated 320,000 people are homeless in the UK, according to the latest research by Shelter. And this is sadly increasing. The numbers are going up. People who, for various reasons, are homeless, sleeping on the streets. And sometimes when you see a homeless person, sometimes we just jump to conclusions. But the life of the homeless people is as varied as people who attend churches. The extent of racial bias faced by Black, Asian, and minority ethnic citizens in the 21st century Britain has been laid bare in unprecedented studies showing a gulf in how people of different ethnicities are treated in their daily lives. And a survey in the Guardian newspaper of 1,000 people from minority ethnic backgrounds found that they were constantly more likely to have faced negative everyday experiences, all frequently associated with racism than white people in a comparative poll. These are gaps that are in the UK. The survey found that 43% of those from a minority ethnic background had been overlooked for a work promotion in a way that they felt was unfair over the last 5 years. More than twice the proportion of white people, 18%, reported the same experience. One other area, and again, I could take the whole morning looking at many, many different gaps that exist in the UK. I've just highlighted a few just to bring the point across to us this morning that there are gaps in the UK that the church needs to be standing in, and gaps that you and I need to be standing in. Domestic abuse. In the year ending March 2019, so that's just last year, an estimated 2.4 million adults aged 16 to 74 years experienced domestic abuse in the last year. 1.6 million women and 786,000 men. Quite often when we think about domestic abuse, we just think it's the woman, the female that suffers this. And in the majority of cases, that is true. But there are a certain amount of men that suffer domestic abuse also. The police recorded 746,219 domestic abuse related crimes in the year ending March 2019, an increase of 24% from the previous year. Now that's the cases that get reported. They say that domestic abuse is like the iceberg in some respect. You only see the tip of the iceberg, but underneath the water, underneath the sea, there's far, far more. And with the figures that they know, you can guarantee that is just the tip of the iceberg. But from 2018 to 2019, an increase of 24%. It's quite staggering. And who knows with COVID-19 what's been happening in homes up and down the streets of the UK. Almost one in three women aged 16 to 59 will experience domestic abuse in a lifetime. One in three. And two women a week are killed by a current or former partner in England and Wales alone. These are staggering statistics. Absolutely staggering. The last one I want to mention this morning is that of modern slavery and human trafficking. Thousands of people across the UK are being held in squalor and undertaking forced labor. Some may be fleeing war zones, others may have financial problems, but all fine dreams turns to nightmares as their life descends into fear, debt, and drudgery in exhausting, ill-paid, dangerous, and degrading work with escape impossible. Forbidden or punished, combating modern slavery and human trafficking is one of our highest priorities, one organization said. We are working with partners in the UK and around the world to pursue offenders and safeguard victims. That's from the National Crime Agency. And this is Amy's story. Amy is not a real name. I was tied up and trapped in a room for hours. I can't tell you how long, because I was drugged, I was force-fed, and still people would have sex with me. Amy was born in the UK. When she was 14, she was recruited into a criminal gang and forced to sell drugs across the UK. It would take more than a year to escape. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, I look for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land. There are some massive gaps in our country. And I believe the word of God cries out to our nation and cries out to the church. And I believe the church, God is asking the same question of the church today. Who will stand in the gap? Of course, we have to look after one another. We have to have fellowship. We have to mature with the saints. That's part of our calling as Christians and as church, and certainly as a leadership team, we are called by God to feed the flock, to bring people to maturity. But we are also called to evangelize, to minister to the hurting and to the needy. We are called to stand in the gap, because if we don't stand in the gap, no one else is going to stand in the gap, and the gap will just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course, we can cry out to God in our prayers, and that's part of what we do. But as that song said, keep us from just singing. Move us into action. This chapter, Ezekiel 22, is broken up into three oracles, each beginning with the same phrase in verse 1, in verse 17, and in verse 23. The word of the Lord came to me. The word of the Lord came to me. The first oracle from verses 2 to 16 actually condemns Jerusalem as the city of blood and catalogues the variety of sins, religious, sexual, social, and judicial sins which were found in Israel at the time. Verses 17 to 22, the second oracle, uses the metaphor of the smelting of silver, and this points to the long and painful agonies of testing which Israel is about to undergo. And the third oracle, verses 23 to 31, makes detailed criticisms of the different classes of Israelite society, the princes, the priests, the prophets, the nobles, and the people of the land. All of them have failed in their responsibilities. Not a man has been found who will stand in the breach. J.B. Taylor commentates on this particular chapter. The prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people of the land. And there's a list, and I'll just quickly run through this list. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy. Not distinguished between what is holy and what is unholy. Not made a difference between the clean and the unclean. Hidden their eyes from God's Sabbaths. They shed blood, destroyed people. They get dishonest gain. They use oppression. They committed robbery, mistreated the poor and the needy, and wrongfully oppress the stranger. Finally, the people of the land in verse 29 follow the patterns of behavior set out by their leaders. They copy the leaders. The last group were a people who didn't have much, but they were still citizens of the city. And they join in the sins of the prophets and the priests and their leaders. God looks in vain, the writer says, Ezekiel says, for just one person who will try to impose him or herself to stop the national ruin. But there was no one with the moral courage to stem the tide. The leaders were ungodly, and those who should have been godly had compromised their position. Let me just remind you of people over the centuries who have stood in the gap. People who have stood in the gap, who have stood up and been counted, who have said, enough is enough. John Knox, the reformer of Scotland, 1514 to 1572. Mary, Queen of Scots, declared, I am more afraid of the prayers of John Knox than of an army of 10,000. Mary, Queen of Scots, I am more afraid of the prayers of John Knox than of an army of 10,000. John Knox is known for his famous prayer, give me Scotland or I die. give me Scotland or I die. And his prayer was answered in his own lifetime. Scotland went from a church attendance of 4% to 96% attendance. Give me Scotland or I die. And the church attendance went from 4% to 96%. John Knox stood in the gap. William Carey, the reformer of India, 1761 to 1834, the father of modern missions, translated the Bible and the New Testament into 35 languages, established 100 schools, the first Christian college in Asia, campaigned successfully for the abolition of suttee, that is the burning of widows on the funeral pyres of their husbands, the burning of lepers and infanticide. Carey introduced lending libraries, saving banks, forestry conservation, ministering to body, mind, and spirit, transforming India through his compassionate social action alongside his Bible teaching and tireless labor for 41 years in India. William Carey stood in the gap. William Wilberforce set in the captives free, a member of Parliament, William Wilberforce, who lived from 1759 to 1883, wrote that God Almighty had set before him two great objectives, the suppression of the slave trade and the reformation of society. God had put these two things on his heart, and Wilberforce successfully mobilized Reformation societies, which enlisted the signature of over 1 million English people for a petition to set every slave free. He campaigned to mobilize the Royal Navy to intercept slave vessels and set captives free. He was a founder of the British and Foreign Bible Society and many other things that he did. He was one of only two born again Christians in Westminster when he became an MP. He was one of two born again Christians in Westminster. By his death, there were over 100 evangelicals in Parliament in England. He stood in the gap. Martin Luther King, 1929 to 1968. He stood in the gap. In the Bible, it's full of people who stood in the gap. Remember Esther? Called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Was told to go and see the king unannounced, which could have meant death for her. But there was a gap that needed to be filled. And Esther stood in the gap on behalf of Israel. Gideon, Nehemiah, Peter, Paul. The list can go on of Bible characters who stood in the gap. And so I've mentioned people from history. I've mentioned people from the Bible. Will your name go in there? Will my name go in there? As God asks the question of us this morning, of you and I, who will stand in the gap? We might not be able to fill the gaps of the people in the same way as the people that I've mentioned, but each of us can be a bridge and make a gap smaller. And whichever gap God lays on our hearts, we can work in that area as individuals and as a church. We can't fill all the gaps, but I believe as a church, we need to seek God's face as to the gaps in Aldershot. Father, what are the gaps in Aldershot? And what gap can we stand in? What gap can we bridge? As we seek his face, if we are genuinely wanting to win Aldershot for Christ, we need to recognize where the gaps are. And God will equip us. Again, as the song said, fill us up, send us out. Fill us up. We don't go out in our own strength. We go out in the strength of God. But John Knox cried, God, give me Scotland or I die. And there was transformation. Just in finishing this morning, there's another verse in Ezekiel, which I'm not going to speak on, but I'm just going to end on this morning. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verses 26 and 27. And it says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Britain, the UK, needs a new heart. It needs God's spirit. And you and I have to stand in the gap. It's not a pleasant experience, but we need our hearts broken afresh over the gaps that exist in the UK. Sometimes we get too familiar with listening to the news. Sometimes the news is kind of wedged between a comedy show and some other show, and it's just like facts and figures that just go through our minds. Sometimes the news needs to bring us to tears. Sometimes what we listen to on the news and read in our papers needs to bring us to our knees because of the injustices and the gaps that exist in the UK. And I just pray and trust this morning, with all the great work that we do, we will not forget these huge gaps that are in the UK, the gaps that are in the town of Aldershot. And when God speaks out, looking for someone to build the walls and to stand in the gap, he will find someone. He will find you. He will find me. Let's be a church that stands in the gap and cries out to God for our nation, and gets involved in the injustices in our nation. Remember that old story of the little boy and the starfish are all washed up on the beach, and he's throwing the starfish in, and a man walks by him and says, son, that's pointless. You're not going to make a difference. The gap is too big. There's too many starfish. The little boy picks up one and throws it back in the sea and says, it made a difference to that one. And it made a difference to that one. We might not be able to change the world, but if we can change it a little, that's better than not changing it at all. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Would you join me in a prayer? Now, in this time when we are working about how we can get back to church, and we've missed church and we've missed fellowship, and I've missed it as well. And even this morning, as I come and sat in front of my computer, I thought, God, I wish I was back in church. I wish I was with the people. And we need to look at how we get back safely, and this, that, and the other, and how we do church. And all that's important. All very important. But as equally important is how we fill the gaps that are in our nation. And so, Father, as a church, as individuals, Father, we just pray that you will show us what we are to be involved in, not just a case of social action. But your gospel brings social change, because we know that when people follow your example, everything changes. The numbers in domestic abuse will go down. Those who are of different ethnic groups will be treated equally. Our children will be looked after properly. And so, Father, move us into action. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the worship that we can have. And we want to keep on worshiping and singing and having fellowship. But God, we want to stand in the gap for all the shut. We want to stand in the gap in our streets. Fill us up, we pray, and send us out to the glory of your name. Amen.